Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord will make, have made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name. Yes, you, and you. Let us exalt the wonderful name of Jesus together on today. Truly, I am so excited about the Lord and what God is getting ready to do in and through the life of his people. This is the best time as never before as we lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And I know without a shadow of the doubt that the devil is fighting on every hand and things are coming against the children of God. But I hear that the Spirit of the Lord is saying, stay in the ship. And that's what we are going to be talking about on today, staying in the ship. Our focus is going to be on the scripture out of Acts chapter 27, verses 24 through verse 31. Then we're going to pick it up on verse number 41 through 44. And our focus verse will be coming from Acts chapter 27, verse number 31. And so let us pray as we get ready to push out from the spiritual bank and moving forward out into the deep waters in regards about staying in the ship. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We take this time to bind the devil and bind the forces of darkness that would even want to come up against what you are doing in and through the life of your people. Father, we ask, oh God, your sovereign and your holy and your sacred will to be done in Jesus' name. Let this word have precourse and preeminence. Let the Holy Ghost exude through every phase of this session. And Father, we praise your blessed name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so staying in the ship. And the scripture reads on this line, staying, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Ardia, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to the country and sounded and founded 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and founded 14 fathoms. Then fearing lest some should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipman was about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boats into the ship under colors, as though they had cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the ship soldier, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And falling into a place where two men seasick, they ran the ship aground, and four parts stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and that the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And so let us look at verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved, the blood of Jesus. And so let us take a look at this lesson on today, because it's going to be key and relevant for the children of God to stay in the ship. Although no one might enjoy the trip, the journey of suffering is not our enemy. It is built into life to provide resistance, and the struggle against this actually serves to make us stronger. Now, the butterfly's struggle to break out of its cocoon is what gives him the power to fly. Without the struggle, it does not have the strength to perform and soon dies. After enumerating the struggle that he had endured, Paul even declared, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Some of those were personal struggles, like his thorn in the flesh, but others were at the hand of people who considered Paul an enemy. Now, in the storms that life brings, God may seem far away from us. However, the scripture reveals, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Now, Paul was not indicating that all things are good, but that the mix of all things, both good and bad, will work together to bring about good results in a person's life if he loves the Lord. Further, Paul stated that a person must remain among those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, he must stay in the ship and remain committed to the purpose of Jesus Christ. As long as we remain committed to the purpose of God, he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. Everything that happened to us is not good. Everything bad that happened to us is not authorized even by the devil. And everything bad that has happened to us is not a determining factor of our being in or not being in the will of God. Mark's gospel unfolds the story where Jesus commanded the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. And you can see that over in Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 54. They did as he bid them, but soon the storm overshadowed them in the will of God. The clouds were dark. The winds were strong, and they were about to succumb to his fury. Then a figure appeared in the midst of the sea, walking towards them, and would have passed them by had they not cried out to him. At their call, however, he came to them, boarded their vessel, and stilled the storm and comforted them. Their storm, like the storms of life, was unannounced, unpredictable, and devastatingly threatening. But Jesus had watched them from afar off and saw them toiling laboriously and came to them when they needed him the most. God never promised the absence of a storm in life, but he did promise to be with them in the storm. Now, storms come upon all people alike. The child of God, however, has the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord and the wisdom of God's word to direct them. The principle of staying with the ship while in the storm, as revealed by this lesson, is the saving factor in our life. Now, let us look further here as we find out that Paul, he was sent to Rome. And Luke joined Paul, and even the centurion Julius joined Paul when he was on his journey going to Rome. Now, Julius was the centurion who had been charged to deliver Paul and several other prisoners safely to Rome. Now, they embarked in a ship, out of the sea of the port of Mystra and came the next day to Sidon, where Julius gave Paul permission to visit with his friends on board. Now, two of these associates were Luke, as the writer of Acts, and a Macedonian named Aristarchus. We know that Luke was with Paul on this journey because of the use of the first person in the proportion of the writing of the book of Acts. Moreover, he was able to give a detailed account of the eventful encounter with the storm from a personal experience. First, we should consider first that Paul had every human right to be bitter about the circumstances. He already had suffered much at the hands of the countrymen through beating, rejection, and much personal persecution. Now he was a prisoner on his way to meet the Roman Empire, Nero. Instead of being a bitter old man, however, Paul considered it all joy to suffer for the namesake of the gospel. Now, Peter and James were of the same mind. Let's look at the scripture, James chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And it reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Also, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 20 through 24. "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was revealed, revealed not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Let's look further. Paul had a knack for attaining favor of those who encountered in life. Historically, he even profoundly influenced the guards that were chained to him during his prison stay. He had an outgoing personality and a feel for other people, and he was able to draw others to him. Although God used his natural talents and ability to advance the church among the Gentiles, beyond these were the tremendous responses to adversity in his life. Whatever situation Paul found himself in, whether it was prison, whether it was beatings or being stoned, he was able to maintain his focus on God, and he truly praised God in everything. And we know that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 18, it let us to know that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. And sometimes we wonder, now, how can I give praise when I'm in the midst of my storm? Now, it's going to take the power of God, the Holy Ghost, to unctionize and to quicken our spirit when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm. And things to be able to give God, yet to give him what he wants, a praise and thanksgiving, not for the things that are happening, but in spite of what's happening, being steadfast with our praise unto God is the sustaining power and principle that God has given unto the church. As we worship him, as we give him the praise and the glory, I don't care what is going on. I don't care what it feel like or look like or what is predicted to be. If you start praising God and giving God thanks And sometimes you may have to just start, Lord, I thank you for my mind. I thank you for my right mind and my spirit and my heart, a mind to praise you, a mind to worship you. You are staying focused, in and on the things of God. And that's what God wants us to do, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the things of the Lord, as God forever and sustain and keep and fortify the children of God. Yes, that praise is going to sustain you. Yes, that thank you, Jesus, is going to hold you close and fast in the things of God. Now, the writer, Hebrew, he admonished us, they admonished us by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrew 13 and 15. David instructed us, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34 and 1. Now, through praise in the storm, we influence many around us to trust in God. We witness in the same thing in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas landed in jail after being beaten severely. And instead of bemoaning their situation, they sang praises to God at midnight. And as a result, the jailer and his household, his sphere of influence was saved. Acts chapter 16, 22 and 34. The same is true for anyone that God calls into his service. God takes an individual's own abilities and talents and uses them to further his purpose on earth. And so, child of God, in the midst of your midnight situations, praise God and give him the glory and give him honor, even when you don't feel like it, because it becomes a sacrifice of praise unto God continually, over in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 15. Now, let us look further here. Paul's warning at Fairhaven. Now, when the ship came to the south coast of Crete, Paul warned Julius and the ship captain not to sail on. The place where this happened was Paul named Fairhaven, near the city of Lystra, and it remained the same name to this day. At this time, Paul cautioned them, Sir, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and damage, not only of the allotting and the ship, but also of our life. Acts chapter 27 and 10. Now, before the storm appeared, God had already given Paul a clear directive not to proceed. Now, Paul, the spirit-led individual, listened to the voice of God in their life, and they'll trust God to appoint in the right direction at all times. Now, Paul's warning was ignored, even though God came and warned them, and Paul shared with them about what God had laid in their heart, in his heart. Now, Julius listened to the warning that Paul gave, but he must have consulted with the ship owner and master. It seemed right to him to take the word of the seasoned sailor rather than to listen to his prisoner. However, he should have listened as the ship met with disaster because of pressing onward in the intended direction. Now, sometimes a word from God comes from the least likely sources. To Julius, Paul was not the one who seemed to be an expert at sailing ships. He determined that he could not heed his warning. However, God had impressed Paul with the necessity and necessary direction for the ship. The preacher, the pastor, will many times give direction for lives under their care. While they may not be a businessman or an attorney and a medical doctor or financial wizard. He listened to the voice, or she listened to the voice of God. Now, he may give advice to people who feel that that word could not be credible, since he may not be a professional in the field. However, one should heed warning from the man or the woman of God who carefully follows the Spirit of God. And two, you can go on and get confirmation through and by those others, professionals that are there and things, and it will just basically affirm what God has already warned or revealed or shown in the spirit realm, and then follow and adhere to that was prescribed. Now, God used unlikely sources to give information to his people many times in Scripture. Moses, Balaam's donkey, Gomer, Hosea's unfaithful wife, all were unlikely sources of God's message, yet he used them anyway. Even though Julius and the captain of the ship ignores Paul's warning, it soon proved to be true. Now look, and take a look at the deceptive winds and the south wind. Acts chapter 27:13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had attained their purpose, losing thence, then sailed close by Crete. Now, the sailors thought that the sea was calm because of the soft southern wind, so they set sail and sailed near Crete. However, the calm wind was just a deceptive trigger for the great storm that was to come. One may think everything is going right just before he was sought the counsel of those who seem to be the ones that's in their field, professionals in their field. Instead, they should know what they are talking about. But life storms come when a person least expect them, and we often could avoid them by listening to our spiritual leaders. A person may bring some storms upon themselves by their own actions. Others, however, may just come as a result of life itself. Regardless of the source, listening to the spiritual leaders who follow the Spirit of God, now that's key, closely, can save our lives, both now as well as eternally. Now, let's look further in this lesson on today, because Paul sent into the storm. He was sent even into the storm, even when God came and warned them. But it was not on Paul. It was on the ones that ignored him and the warning. And so sometimes it may not even be on you, but it may be on the one that is ignoring what you were telling them, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying regarding the situation. And now you're being sent into the storm because someone else has ignored the warning of God. Let's take a look at what happened to Paul when that happened in his life. Now, many times people think there should be a euphoric place where no storm exists. Now, through life, however, all people will experience storms of trouble from time to time. At times, God may send us right into the storm. And we've seen that over in Mark chapter 6, verse 45 and 54. The disciples were in the storm, in the will of God. And likewise, circumstances sent Paul into the wind of Euroclydon. But he was still in the will of God. And so sometimes when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm or things happening in our lives and it doesn't look favorable, it doesn't look really good, it doesn't even feel good, that does not mean that you are not in the will of God. Let's look further at what happened to Paul and how Paul was sustained in the will of God, even in the midst of the storm. Now, the scripture, Acts chapter 27 and 14 said, but not long after there arose against in his tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now, the fired lexicon defined the word Euroclydon as a violent agitation. It was literally a strong southeastern wind that caused a great wave, a typhoon. Now, the storm sent Paul and others on board into a violent agitation, a storm that could have destroyed them except for the guidance from the Spirit of God as how to respond. While it may be hard to fathom why God would actually send a person into a storm, we should remember that he is with us in all of it. He will see us through no matter the circumstances. Paul was not in the storm because of his own choices, and he could have been bitter about it and failed to hear and heed the voice of God. Instead, he focused on God in the storm and was able to give the direction from God to others. This direction eventually saved them. And so what I want to say, that even in the midst of your storm, remember to stay focused on God in the midst of the storm. Stay focused on God. Now, let us look further. The ship was blown far off course. Now, Acts chapter 27 and 15 said, and when the storm was caught, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Because they did not heed Paul's warning at first, they varied from the intended course of travel. The ship captain was forced to let the wind carry the ship at will, with no way to steer it. Although they now knew that Paul was right, it was too late to reconsider their course or even their choice. They had to let the storm take its course, totally at its mercy. Many people ignore the voice of God in their lives and take matters into their own hands and sail in the direction they think is best. This course takes them straight towards disaster. And even though they may even be saved in the end, their lives are torn to peace and bits and pieces by the savageness of the sin or even the circumstances. Now, the storms of life may carry us off course as they did the ship that Paul was on. We may have to let the wind blow and let the waves carry us for a time. But when we should make up our mind that we will strive to continue on course on the other side of the storm. And the storm of life is a proving ground of faith and perseverance. No matter what the storm of life may throw at us, we will remain on course after they have blown the hardest and hurtled the strongest waves against our vessel. And so, child of God, we must make up our mind on the other side of the storm as to hear and to heed to what God is saying unto his people as never before, as we yield unto what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church and unto our spirit, unto our mind, unto our heart, so that we can be led and guided into the things of God that will bring forth glory and even honor unto the Lord our God. Now, let us look further. Now, Paul, with the direction from God, took charge in the midst of the storm. In the storm, we can hear the voice of God, sometimes clearer than in a tranquil time. It is time then to take charge and know that in every storm, God is still in control. Paul had heard the voice of God, and it gave him the courage to stand forth and encourage them around him to be of good courage and be of good cheer. His experience with the angels of God in the stormy night gave him power to take authority and provide leadership necessary to save them. Had he not done so, they likely would have perished in the midst of the storm. And so right there in the midst, still take forth that leadership, even over your own life, even over the situation, and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Ask God, lead us through it and lead us in and through and around that storm, no matter how difficult, no matter how bad it may look. Hold fast. Stay focused. God, speak, Lord. Lord, have your way, God. We're standing. We're holding fast. We're standing on your word. We're standing in your will. Let thy will be done, O Lord our God, as we cry out unto the Lord. Now let's look further. The ship was lost, but all lives were saved. Acts 27:44. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, the reason all of those who sailed with Paul were saved was due to their obedience to his command to stay with the ship. There is virtue in being committed to something enough to stay with it to the end. Some give up quickly and never live to see the fulfillment of the vision. Just beginning to a race does not guarantee success. One must endure to the finish to receive the reward. And that's one of the things that we must begin to examine and begin to examine ourselves. I share with the precious saint, you have to learn to master yourself. And not look at others and say, well, why did they do that? But no, why did you react to it in such a manner? And begin to see your own weaknesses and strength and begin to master those things and understand yourself even greater. Because in doing so, you're able to understand the moments or the time when you will succumb to doubt or even to the perplexities of situation. And now you know that instead of succumbing, you're able to stand and hold fast in those moments, in those sessions, and in those times as never before. Now, let's take a look. The ship was, the lives were saved. Now, let's look further. And we shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that's true. People are being hated for Jesus' name's sake. That's what the scripture said it would be, and that's what we are recognizing and seeing as never before. But Paul declared to Timothy, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know for whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day. That's 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Paul began to declare that he said, for this cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day. Paul was declaring his faith. Paul was declaring what he believed that God was going to do. And such as it is, that declaration of declaring what you are believing God to do right in the midst of the storm, we ought to stop and start calling out declaration and start declaring and decreeing, I will believe God. And I declare it to be manifested, God's sovereign and his holy and his sacred will to be manifested in and through my life. And that's what we have to do as children of God, is begin to declare and decree and manifest God. I decree and declare that God is my God, and that God is my provider, and that God has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness, that God will not leave me, nor will he forsake me. And that's what the declaration, we have to open our mouth and release God because God watches over his word to perform it. And the more I'm releasing God, the more I'm speaking about God, the more God is moving in and through to perform that which I believe. God told me, he said, Helen, let my people know their faith is like currency in heaven. It's like money. It's like it's an exchange. When you begin to put your faith in God, it is your currency. When you release your faith, your expecting faith, and expecting God to do it for you and fight this battle. And many times, sometimes the adversary or even thoughts come into the mind of individuals as saying, you know, I don't think that can be done, or that's not going to happen, and things, or you can't do that. And sometimes you need to speak back to that spirit and say, you know, you're right, I can't do it. But God can do it, and I give God permission to do it in and through my life. And not only that, devil, the scripture says that I can do all things through Christ with strengthening me. And right now in your faith, I'm going to ask God to strengthen me. And strengthen me in my inward man. Strengthen me in my skills and ability. Strengthen me in my intellect. Strengthen me even in the financial world. Strengthen with favor. Strengthen and lavish me in your love, God. And once you start declaring and decreeing and open your mouth and believing God to do that, watch it come in the path. Watch God propel you forward in the things of the Lord. God said, we have not because we ask not. And don't ask the mist, and don't ask that you can consume it upon your own lust and own flesh, but ask that for that the glory of God may be revealed in your life, in your testimony, in your body, in your finance, in your home, in your family, in your children, and your children's children, all the way down to the third and the fourth and the fifth generation. Oh, child of God, that's the promise. That's exercising your faith, that's speaking to your not enough and to your darkness, and watch God propel and penetrate and open a door on your behalf. Watch God do it, because he is just that type of God. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of or even think. Now, he said, if you're thinking that or even dreaming that, I can supersede that. And so, as I will often say, God will put super to your natural and begin to supersize your blessing right in the face of your adversary and your gainsayers and soothsayers. God will supernaturally supersize and blow up the blessing right in the face of your adversary and prepare you a table in the presence of your enemy. Come on and holler with me. Hallelujah. Shata. Glotoro boshanda. Hallelujah. And watch God do it in and through your life, child of God. I come to tell you to stay in the ship. I come to tell you and to admonish you to stay in the place that God has ordained and planted you there. And then stay there, hold fast with a praise and saying, God, Jesus, 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 I know you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you asked or think. God, you're working this thing out, and just keep talking to God and stay focused on the Lord while you in the midst of those vehemently winds that's coming up against your soul and attack that is coming against your finance. Just talk to God and speak to God and minister unto the Lord our God and watch God do it, child of God, as never before. He's able. He's able to do it. He's able. 66 books says he's able. And not only is he able, he's also willing to do it on your behalf. Watch God do it. Oh, he's a righteous God. He's an everlasting Father, and he is that Prince of Peace. Watch him do it. It is a fight sometimes to finish a work with unto completion. Regardless of the stormy situation that may befall us, we are not in God's hand to fall short of the completed design, but we should remain there until he completes his work in us. And as Paul himself was never satisfied with where he was in God, he kept pressing onward and toward the perfect work of God, the master designer. And I come to tell you today, the master designer is going to bless you and overtake you as you hold fast. You are still in his hand, and he is still yet working it out for your good. And all you have to do sometimes is just stand up in your house, stand up, or while you're driving in your car, walking down that street, sitting there on that couch or in that love seat or on that chair, all you need to do is declare, good is coming towards me today. Good, good, good is coming to me. And because the scripture declares, goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. It's following you. Good is coming unto you. God is going to bless you with a testimony out of that test, and it's going to touch lives. It's going to deliver people. It's going to give people hope and courage to stand and hold fast in the midst of their fiery furnaces. They're testing the trial, being backed up against the wall. They're going to know that if God did it for you, surely I serve the same God in which you serve. Surely, surely he will do it for me. And I tell you, I heard someone sing a song that said he'll do it again. Oh, yes. He'll do it again. If he did it for you before, guess what? That's something just to reflect back and to hold on to a past victory of how he brought you out. And so, brethren, count it not yourself to have apprehended, as Paul said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's according to Philippians 3. Verses 13 through 15. And sometimes God will reveal our own thoughts or what we're thinking about. And all he's doing is revealing our mind to let us know what is going on in our mind and spirit in the midst of that circumstances. And so, child of God, as never before, hold fast to God's unchanging hand. What he done for others, he'll surely do it even for you. Even me, Lord. Even me. Let some drops fall on me. Even me, Lord. I remember my great late former pastor, Bishop P.L. Scott, would get up and say those words. Even me, Lord. Even me. Let some drops fall on me. And I understand now what he is talking about, understanding what was in his heart when he said, even me. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that God will do it. He will work it out on our behalf. All we have to do is trust him and look unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, and he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will he slumber. Don't you know God is not sleeping regarding your situation? He knows. His all-seeing eyes sees and knows all things. And so here we have. If storms never come to our life, it just would not be a real life. Our lives are periodically going to encounter a stormy situation, and no one is exempt from it. The born-again believer, the new convert, the seasoned child of God, and the sinner, all are subject to stormy trials in their lives. Our response to them, however, makes all the difference in our destinies. We are either saved or lost by how we approach adverse circumstances in our lives. We influence others by our responses to negative things in our lives. We could never bemoan the lack of good health, great employment, or even other negative situations, or we can approach them with a positive outlook that help us to do what we can do with what we have. And remember, God has promised that he will see us through any storm that comes our way. There may be some danger, and the storm may extract some things from us, but we will be victorious if we stay with the ship. And so I come to tell you, child of God, stay with the ship. Even though you see things breaking up, grab a piece of that board, a piece of your hope and your faith, and hold fast as you tread upon deep waters. God will do it. He didn't design it to destroy you, but he designed it so that it would make you strong and the man or the woman of God that God is calling you out to be. So be encouraged, even as Paul, as he began to warn them and try to encourage their heart that they should stay in and with the ship, that nothing and no one would be destroyed. So as it is, we as children of God, we must forever, ever stay fast and hold on through every test and every trial of life that life will bring unto you. God will see you through. Yes, God will make all that happened to us work out for our good and for his glory. He's going to get glory out of your life. He's going to work it out. And God's going to reveal and manifest his divine will of why and how come you even had to endure that situation. God's going to show it and reveal it unto you. So, child of God, look up and live. And look up and declare the works of God, even in the midst of your storm, and watch God bless you. Watch God do it on your behalf, because he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. He's working it out. He's opening doors, and he is making a way out of no way on your behalf. So, child of God, I come to encourage your heart on this day. As never before, the God in heaven, he will provide for you. And Paul began to say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then 1 Peter 2, verses 20 and 24 said, for what glory is it if when we be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Commit ourselves to God in the midst of it and watch God sustain. And the scripture goes on to say, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So child of God, woman of God, man of God, prophet, seer, apostle, hold fast to the work and the hand of God, teacher, missionary, deacon, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Stay with the process. That's what I mean when I'm saying stay with the ship. Stay with God's process of how he's bringing you through this. Stay with the process of how he's giving you and gaining the victory. Stay with the process as he brings you out victorious. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And if you find yourself in a whole totally different arena, ask God, who are you there for? Who needs the gospel? And who you need to touch their life by and through the love of Jesus, that they may be won back unto God. God is doing something far greater than you can even imagine in that situation. So hold fast and hold strong unto the process and watch God work it out on your behalf. Truly, he's able to do it on your behalf. Oh, yes, he is. And yes, he will do it on your behalf. So in my prayer and in our conclusion on today, we encourage you and admonish you, stay in the Bible study. Stay with your group selves. Stay in to the will of God by his continual faithfully in those things that you have been called to attend to or assigned to do. Even when you don't feel it in your spirit, it's not about a feeling. God said, present your body a living sacrifice. It becomes a sacrifice when I don't want to go to Bible study and when I'm tired in my body. It becomes a living sacrifice when I don't even feel like it. But I press, like Paul said, he's going to press towards the mark. And sometimes you just need to press in and watch God meet you in the press. Press up and over circumstances and situation and watch God meet you in the press. And so, child of God, be thou blessed. Be encouraged. I speak to your faith. I speak to your spirit to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let your inward man be strengthened by the power of God. The scripture said, even unto Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. It is by the spirit of the Lord you shall and you will be victorious. And recognizing that, you will have a testimony out of this test. So, Father God, we come, Lord, hastening unto the throne of God right now, saying, Lord, bless my sister, bless my brother, God. Bless the man or the woman of God, Lord. Father, strengthen them. Bless the backslider. Bring them back home, God. The wayward, turn their feet back in the hither, Lord. That one who has lost their compass, oh, God, of the spiritual matter, God, turn them back. Give them a fresh breath of your Ruah, God, in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Work on their behalf and make a way out of no way. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor because your Lord God is worthy. Your Lord God is worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. It all belongs to you, and we rejoice in the God of our salvation. And Father, we commit everything over into your hand and that you're able to keep us against that day. Father God, we praise you. Father God, we worship and we glorify your name. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' shorobokosha, inerabosikia, haramashinderiandaraba. Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, thank you, child of God. Thank you. As we close that prayer in Jesus' name, I want to say I thank God for you on today. I just could feel the power of God. I want you to know that God is doing it in and through your life. Tell someone about home. Encourage them to log in and be with us. And tell them to go back and listen to the archives, that their life will be blessed and strengthened. You can hear this word anytime, 24 hours a day, wherever you're at. Encourage someone to log in and say, come hear a woman who has been sent by God to bring forth manna in a dry and a thirsty place, to encourage our heart, to strengthen our mind, and to strengthen our souls. So encourage somebody to come and hear what thus said the Lord unto your church today. May God bless you. As in my closing, as I always will say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle, all you need to do is ask. And it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So if you've thrown in that towel, if you've given up, I encourage you, go back, get that towel, and pick it up, and try all over again. Oh, if you've given up, get back up. Go back down on your knees and cry out to God. And watch God will hear and answer your prayer. He got your children. He have your family. He's able to do it and make provision in every aspect of our life. God will and God shall do it for his people. And as never before, now child of God, hear me. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, as never before, this is the time, as never before, to draw nigh unto God, as he will draw nigh unto you. He's soon to come back, and he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Stay in the house of God. Continue to read your Bible. Continue to stay in your prayer session and with your prayer circles or prayer meetings and pray and fast as never before and read and study the Bible as never before and rest assured that God is going to do it on your behalf. Encourage someone, share somebody your testimony with someone and encourage them to come to the house of the Lord. The Bible said for us to work while it's day, night coming, and no man will be able to work. So be thou encouraged and know that God is going to do it. Take what you got and use it for the glory of God. If it's all you have left and if you lost and suffered and lost everything, take your faith. You still have a mouth. You still yet have hands. And the creator, the master designer, can design and fashion you a blessing because you are believing God, that God will do it. He will take your not enough and just make just enough and bless you with the abundance because you gave him your faith and you kept your faith and your confidence in God and whom you love, the lover and the bishop and the lover of your soul. So be encouraged. God will do it. I touch and agree. And I declare that it will manifest even this week on your behalf. So be encouraged and hold strong to your faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Be thou blessed, child of God, and be encouraged. Take courage and get in it. And watch God bless you as you be encouraged. God bless you now is my prayer. Until we meet again, tell somebody to meet us on Tuesdays and Thursday at 2 o'clock. Or if you can't meet it at that time, come back and archive and listen at your time that you can. And watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. Thank you for joining in with Dr. Arm and home. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye.